Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles, not in studio.
Not in our studio.
No, not in a studio. We are actually at Mother Angelica's office right now at EWTN in Birmingham, Alabama, which is a bucket list thing that I didn't even know was on my bucket list.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. When we got here, we were just looking for, hey, do you guys have like a corner?
Do you have a closet that we could go record a show in?
Somewhere we can put up our stuff. And the guy, Greg, is like, do you want to record in Mother Angelica's office? Like, are we allowed to do that?
Is that something that we can do?
Are you serious?
And so as we were getting everything set up, Father Mitch Packwell walks in, starts talking to us about hunting because he's an avid hunter.
It was so funny. He's over here powdering his face, you know, putting makeup on because he's getting ready to go in front of the camera talking about hunting. It's like kind of an ironic conversation.
Right. No, but it was so awesome. It was like, it is one of those, like, you just kind of sit back and go, is this really, Dave, is this happening?
Yeah.
Is this happening right now?
And then he's like, you guys coming to dinner tonight? I'm bringing some of the, what was it?
Something.
Like some stag or, I mean, yeah. One of the things he has recently hunted to dinner.
Yeah, so we're actually here at EWTN for a Life on the Rock episode. So if you're listening this week, then on Father's Day, we're going to be airing airing our episode on fatherhood on Life on the Rock.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
That's the plan.
They told us that we're actually going to record two different episodes. We're going to record one on fatherhood and one on the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
And I think what they're going to do is they're going to say, like, try to figure out which one's going to be maybe usable. I don't know. And air that one.
I mean, Adam, let's be honest. You're a little bit of a loose cannon.
I know. The thing about me.
They just don't know what you're going to say.
I am.
Because sometimes you say things that are a little bit out of left field, bro.
And I, you know, start spitballing really quick and like people just don't know.
And you'll pull stuff out of nowhere and just go down a rabbit hole sometimes.
You have to just rein me back in.
I feel like I'm always having to do that.
I know.
Just be like, hey, Adam, let's, you know, try to get back on topic. The comment you're making is good, but you know, we're on a time. We have time constraints. I don't know if you remember this. We're recording a show,
right? So that's just a cross you have to bear.
It is
in the Catholic Man
and,
Show.
You know, I feel like I bear it pretty well.
You're doing a good job overall.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of things going on. We're doing this. We actually have the Father's Day ultimate giveaway that we're doing right now as well. We've partnered up with Jonathan Conrad from the Catholic Woodworker,
yeah,
who sponsors our show. He's a good friend of ours. And we decided we're going to do this big. We're going to give a tell them what's in the giveaway.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in the giveaway. First of all, there's the big Yeti cooler, which I don't know how much that. It's like $200
Yeah.
If you go in out and buy it, so this is like a. It's not the biggest Yeti they make.
No, it's a 24 Roadie is what they call it.
Okay, which is a good size. I mean, a good size to take around. So we've got the Yeti cooler. It also has like a Yeti
Rambler.
It's called the Rambler. It's basically like the like a mug, you know. We've got some coffee in there from Guadalupe Roastery.
We've got a case
pocket knife.
Some Catholic Answers books.
Some Catholic Answers.
Yeah, we have a Catholic Man Show tie bar from Our Lady's Armory. Uh-huh. Over $500 worth of stuff we're giving away.
Right.
So
and then the glasses.
And there are glasses. And, here's what Jonathan did.
Yeah, we can't forget about the glass.
The flight board. So what Jonathan did is he made one-of-a-kind walnut live-edge slabs flight boards for the Glencairn glasses. So if you're hosting people or something like that, and you're all trying a scotch, you can walk out with the walnut live-edged flight board with all the Glencairn glasses.
Yeah. And they came out really
super nice. Yeah. And he only made them for the Father's Day giveaway. So if you go to thecatholicmanshow.com, the first thing you'll see is the giveaway to enter. There's several different ways you can enter. So go check that out. Make sure you do, because we're going to be announcing that on June 21st, the day after Father's Day. We're going to be announcing the winner. So we're going to give away the cooler, and then we're also going to give away four of those live edge flight boards with Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses. So there's going to be five winners total.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to want to make sure to check that out.
Yeah. And even the second place prize is really pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I also wanted to give a shout out to a Catholic Man Show listener who sent us a tweet the other day. She is a female Catholic Man Show listener. Her name is Kate. And she said, like, she just digs our show. And I was like, hey, I appreciate that.
Right on.
So I'm going to give you a shout out.
Thanks, Kate.
Yeah.
So thanks for tweeting at us.
Yeah. So anyway.
So we're here in Mother Angelica's studio. Let's just describe it a little bit. We were not allowed to use video in here. I'm assuming that some of the stuff in here is original.
Yes. So I was here about 5 years ago on a EWTN Catholic radio conference. And at that time, they still had her executive desk in here. Now, they've taken out the executive desk.
Uh-huh.
And they still had her chair and everything in there. But they still have her credenza from hers, and then this massive crucifix.
It's a big crucifix. I mean, it's probably 5 feet, 6 feet tall.
Uh-huh. And that was here.
And it's really beautiful.
It is very beautiful.
You know, like I think you judge a crucifix by the corpus, you know, and that one is.
So that's still there.
Very lifelike.
They have a very beautiful painting of, I don't remember what this painting is called, but it's the Madonna holding the Christ child.
You have this one in your.
No, I have the lily one. It's the same. It's the same, but not the angels.
You don't have that one?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
But it's our lady.
I have that
holding
one on a screensaver on my computer.
Uh-huh.
So I see it a lot. This picture, I mean, I wish we could remember the name, but all the faces of these angels are exactly the same. And I've looked at it before and thought, God, that would be so hard to paint the exact same face every single time.
Yeah, so it's Our Lady holding the Christ child with angels all around, and two of the angels are incensing.
It's one of my favorites of Our Lady.
Painting. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah.
And then a big statue of St. Joseph back here in the corner that would have been behind her desk.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, there's all this other art in here, and I just don't know the names of it. It's just.
Right. But it's a pretty.
It's really great.
It's pretty cool just to know, like.
Otherwise, it's a pretty regular room.
Mm-hmm. But it's just really cool to think about, like, she made deals in here. Like, to make this radio station happen, to make Catholic radio happen, and Catholic TV happen, EWTN.
Right. And her office is not up on the executive, because the executives all have their offices upstairs. Hers is right here, just off the studio set.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Apparently, this is the room, I believe. Now, it's been a while since I've read her biography that Raymond Arroyo did, which, by the way, if you're an audiobook person, it is great.
You gotta listen to it.
But I think this is the room that she had that healing take place where she didn't have to use crutches anymore before she went out and did the radio show or the TV show where she started dancing. Remember, it was like Our Lady of Guadalupe, and she did they had the maraca band there, and she started dancing and stuff. She went from in crutches and wheelchair to dancing out there.
It's incredible. So you think it was in here?
I think the audio, the biography said that it was in her office right before she went out on stage.
Yeah. What do you think the cameramen and the people on the set were thinking?
Mind blown. Yeah.
She's like, what?
Right.
She walked in. It'd be like that scene, you know, that scene from Star Wars when Yoda fights Count Dooku. He walks in.
I did not.
He's got this cane, and he like drops a cane, and then he turns into like this lightsaber Mexican jumping bean, and it's just, anyway.
No, I don't.
I imagine that. It was similar to that.
Okay. Well, so for those who don't know, we didn't really even say it, but Mother Angelica is the foundress of EW10, Catholic Radio, Catholic TV. She's the one that basically started. She was a contemplative nun, Carmelite nun, that is from Ohio and moved down to Birmingham, Alabama to actually help cultivate vocations for the African American population.
Mm-hmm.
That was her original plan, was to start a contemplative order.
Oh, really?
For the African American population here in Birmingham. And then, you know, God takes a hold of, you know, you offer yourself up and you put yourself out there for God, and He has plans for you.
He uses the willing.
Right. Which will kind of go really well in our topic today.
Yes.
But yeah, so Mother Angelica is an amazing woman. If you go back and you read her biography, a woman of much suffering.
Mm-hmm.
All through her childhood, she had a much suffering. She had a broken family.
Mm-hmm.
She really struggled a lot in her even prayer life, and for a while, all through high school.
Uh-huh.
And then became a contemplative nun against really her mom's will. And you know, she knew nothing about Catholic radio. She knew nothing about Catholic television. And yet she started everything.
Right, yeah. And she was the one who started the radio and the television show.
Right. So
right.
Anyway, when we get back, we don't have a drink today, obviously. We didn't mention that.
But yeah.
There's no drink today. We're going to probably just jump into the topic, don't you think?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, no, we'll talk about it between the break.
We'll
decide what we're going to do next.
We'll be right back. This segment of the Catholic Man Show is brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker. Go to thecatholicwoodworker.com for heirloom quality home altars, crucifixes, and rosaries.
It's also the only place where you can get the official rosary of the Catholic Man Show. Type in promo code TCMS for 10% off all purchases. TCMS for the Catholic Man Show. CatholicWoodworker.com. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're just here all by ourselves. We have no Juan. We have no Jim. We've got Jesus. But, you know, it's feeling a little lonely.
It is.
Compared to what, you know, our regular habits of late. But we are here at EW10. We're very excited to be here. We're once again, we're recording inside Mother Angelica's old office. You know, this is where everything went down. Mm-hmm. All the big stuff happened.
I wonder what Mother Angelica would think if she watched an episode of the Catholic Man Show.
I think she would laugh because we're hilarious.
Maybe.
Boo. Next question.
That's good enough. We'll end there while we're on top.
Yeah. I mean, she also was very funny. She was hilarious.
She was funny.
Like the pirate nun. I mean,
a lot of people knew her by that, yeah.
And she, I think, embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she embraced her crosses.
Yeah,
Yeah. She was a great example of showing, like, this is what suffering looks like. This is what suffering well looks like.
Yeah, and doing it happily.
Mm-hmm. And in public.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not for the sake of getting the accolades, right. But just...
Yeah, she and John Paul II
did a lot, yeah.
Both really good examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we did decide to have to... We're doing a man gear. We have a man gear.
So if this is your first time listening to the show, because we're getting a lot of new listeners right now.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
There's three things we normally do on the show. We normally open, review, and enjoy a beverage. We normally highlight a man gear, and then we have a topic. Today, we don't have a beverage. It's afternoon. We're at EWTN.
We're getting ready to record Life on the Rock.
Yes. So there was a lot of things that there are a lot of things impeding us doing that. So, but the idea is going is that we
wouldn't want to be intemperate,
correct?
In our consumption,
correct. And we will always try to promote virtue on the show and talk about things that Catholic men deal with on a day to day basis. So anyway.
That's right.
So the gear today is a Craig pocket hole jig.
Pocket hole jig, Craig jig. Mm-hmm. People might have different words for it. Adam, what is a pocket hole jig?
So a pocket hole jig is something that guides a drill bit down into a piece of wood to be able to basically cut, like, at an angle to where you can screw in a screw without people, like, actually seeing it.
Yeah.
So that way, like, there's a lot of times, you know, if you do just a butt joint to two pieces of wood, it doesn't really hold very well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not very sturdy. A lot of people can't do it like a mortise and tenor joint. They can't do that. Like, they don't have the skills to do that.
Yeah.
or something like that. So this pocket hole jig gives you the opportunity to, stabilize mm-hmm. the two pieces of wood.
Well, it's a way of creating a joint between two pieces of wood at a 90 degree, typically at a 90 degree angle, right? So, because like you said, you might just take, you know, if you're going to take two 2x4s and put them together at a 90 degree angle, you might just put them so that one, the length of one side overlaps the end of the other board and just screw all the way through into both of them. Right. Mm-hmm. That works just fine. I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need to put, you can't get behind on the other side of the board to put a nail through it. Okay.
Right.
And so now what are you going to do?
Right.
Or you want to hide the, you know, if you're doing cabinetry or something where you don't want hardware
showing
on the outside of things when you're done. This is a good way to create. Now you still can see the hardware with when you use a pocket hole, but typically you'll try to put it so that it's hidden. You know, it's like on the side that maybe you won't see or you know something, and it works really well.
Yeah, I actually used it when I built my gate to the fence. I used pocket hole jigs because it gave me the opportunity because everything, you know. Ideally, your fence is all 90 degrees, but that never happens, right? So you're sitting there with maybe at...
Yeah. I mean, if you have a perfectly flat lawn...
Right, and I don't, so...
Nobody does.
So you're like, I'm at 76 degrees or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to angle it. So I just pocket hole jig, put a pocket hole jig in there and pocket hole those 2x4s together.
And it's a sturdy way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're actually kind of doing... Instead of the screws being at 90 degrees, you know, with some of the wood, it kind of goes 45 degrees across both pieces of wood.
Right.
It's not really 45 degrees, but it's
at an angle.
It's at an angle. So I think it kind of like holds it a little tighter than if you did it otherwise. Because you don't get the same wiggle, you know, if you just go on the other side of the board and start... screwing
in. And they actually have really nice filler holes that you can put in there that you sand down, and it looks actually really nice. Similar to like little oak buttons that you can put in there to cover up your screw holes.
Yeah, that are pre-made to fit the hole that you drill out. And also countersinks. So, you know, the head of the screw will fit all the way into the wood.
Mm-hmm. So if you're
They're also really easy to use. I mean, like when you buy it,
that's
it comes
what I was about
with,
to say.
When you buy it, it comes with all the hardware, like all the
it has a vise, it has
stuff.
The jig, so that way you can
some of them. Some of them don't have a vise.
Oh, okay. The one I bought.
So yeah. There's different ones that like that have four holes on them. Mm-hmm. Some of them have one. The
two.
One I have only it has two.
Yeah, that's one I have.
And I have the one that has two. It did not come with a vise.
Oh. Mine has vice grips where it sinks it down.
But yeah,
really
they make a vice grip sort of thing that's specific for this.
Yeah. It's really good for if you're just getting into woodworking or if you are a new homeowner or something like that and you have some home improvements that you have to do. It's a good tool to have in your
yes.
repertoire of tools.
Yeah, I agree. I used it when I built a cabinet, and I need to build another. That was actually what I got Pamela for her birthday last October, was another bookshelf to match the one I made that I haven't built yet.
That I'll be giving to her this birthday.
Yeah. So I told her, like, well, I'll definitely get it done before your next birthday. But I think I actually use a pocket hole jig more for, like, rough construction. Like if I'm repairing drywall and I want to put a new 2x4 that goes between the studs mm-hmm. so that I can have like another thing to nail the drywall. Well, how do you know, if you cut out a piece of drywall right between the studs, how are you going to screw this other 2x4 in between the studs?
Right.
A pocket hole is the only way to do it really. Or, I mean, you could what they call toenail. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what essentially a pocket hole is. You're just toenailing the board in, except you're doing it better because you're pre-drilling it. And it gets, when you toenail, if you use screws and you try to toenail it in, it's likely to split the wood, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which isn't going to happen.
Right.
So I think I actually use it, my pocket hole jig, more for like rough construction than finished carpentry.
Okay.
But that's a great thing about it is it works.
It's very versatile.
It works for either one.
Yeah. It's really good for making frames as well. If you want to make a frame, if you want to, I used it a lot on my woodworking bench as well. If you have just obscure things that you need, obscure pieces of wood that you need to slide in somewhere and stabilize, it's really nice. There's some people like Deacon Kevin Sartorius, he made his own jig. Like you can make your own jig, a pocket hole jig.
I could see that.
But the Craig brand is really well known, and it's,
there's almost not even any competitors, just because it's like everybody. That's the one everybody has. I have the two hole one. I wish I had just spent a little bit more money and got the nicer four hole.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of have more options.
Yeah, I agree. I do too.
But the one I have, it works great.
So why do we pick this gear, Dave?
Well, because we're going to be talking about discerning and like kind of like what it takes to go in the right direction sometimes. And the pocket hole jig, that's what it does, is if you need to get a screw in just this exact place, the jig, it is going to guide that screw into exactly where it needs to go. And so like that's maybe what effective discernment is. It's taking you in the work that you're doing, you know, if you're applying action in a certain way, like discernment is going to help you apply it in exactly the right way, or at least in a,
hopefully
at least in a better way. Right. Yeah.
Better way than what you're going.
I mean, if you have perfect discernment, then yes, you would be going in exactly the right way.
Right. So if you want to go check out more about the pocket hole jigs, it's kind of a solution that's easier for you when you're doing do-it-yourself projects, woodworking, in order to create rock-solid assemblies and long-lasting repairs. I'm quoting from the...
Is that from their website?
From their website. But you can go to craigtool.com, and that's K-R-E-G, tool.
Yeah. They sell them on Amazon, too. Like,
sure. But so. But they have... And that you can get the whole kit. It looks like the two-hole kit that we were talking about is $129.
I don't think I paid that much for it. I don't remember.
The actual just without the whole kit is actually only $40. So it's,
I think that's what I did. And then I bought just a vice grips on my own.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So go check that out. It's a great tool to have whenever you're, especially when you're just bought a new home.
Yeah.
You have a lot of...
It'll definitely increase your capabilities.
Yeah. So when we get back, we'll continue the we'll jump into the topic.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sitting here at EWTN in Mother Angelica's office, it is a bucket list that I didn't even know I had that I got to check off today. It's so awesome. We're going to talk about action. We're going to talk about discernment. We're going to talk about having to kill things in order to for birth. Yet for new things to come about, you have to deconstruct sometimes to reconstruct. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this, Dave, this is my topic, and something just kept coming back to me in adoration this week about just reflecting on the big steps in my life of, like, the monumental turns in my life that I didn't realize at the time, but looking back, you realize, wow, that was a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
And had I not made that decision, it would have affected the trajectory of not only my life, but my family's life, my wife's sure. life, my children's life.
And sometimes you don't realize in the moment when you're making those decisions.
Right.
Like, wow, I'm really glad I chose that because I didn't take that up very seriously. Or
thank goodness for my guardian angel and the Holy Spirit, you know, because otherwise,
right.
You know, I could have really, really fumbled here.
Uh-huh.
But I was just thinking about right after college, you know, you and I have very similar stories. Right after college, we moved in together. We started taking our faith more seriously. And there were, like, certain things that I just had, certain vices that I had just let into my life that I just wanted to hold on to.
Yeah.
You know, and I realized I wanted to take my faith seriously. And in doing so, it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require some pain, to kind of, like, your heart has to kind of break in order for Christ to come in, you know, and build it back up, you know?
Right.
And I realized that I had let some things, some vices into my life that at the time I didn't know for sure if it was a sin or not.
Right.
I didn't know, like, 'cause I was still trying to learn. I was still trying to understand just my life in general, like where, like, my vocation. So I wasn't sure if it was a sin, but I knew I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that deep down, after thinking about it, it was prohibiting me from doing other things.
Sure.
And so I remember talking to you about it. And I was like, and you said, like, Adam, why are you struggling with this so much? And I said, well, I just don't know if it's a sin or not. And I really like it. And if it's not a sin, then I would like to keep doing it. And you go, just let it go.
I sound really wise.
You were like, just stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, like, right after I got off the phone with you, I remember going into my room and Haley was in the kitchen, I think, cooking dinner. And she was like, what's wrong? I was like, just give me just a second. Let me, you know, I'm going to go pray in the room. And so I went to my room and I remember having, so this is like one of the first times that I had like some really serious prayer where I felt, you know, like really felt Christ's presence. So a lot of times my prayer life is pretty dry, but this was like one of those moments.
I think
moments.
That's normal.
And I remember saying, like, just opened my heart to him and just said, like, Lord, I don't know if this is a sin or not, but I know that you know I really enjoy it. And so I'm just going to give it to you. And I'm not going to do this anymore. And even if it's not a sin, you know that I'm giving this up for you because I love you.
Right.
And I want to grow in holiness. And so I said, I will, I'm making a pledge to you right now. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And I felt this like sense of like just relief almost immediately. Because it's one of those decisions that like once you make the decision, you're like, okay, good. The decision has been made and I'm not wrestling with it anymore.
Yeah.
And now looking back, it would have prohibited me doing so many things that we do now. There's a good chance we would have never started a Catholic radio station.
Right.
There's a good chance we would have never started the Catholic Man Show. I don't know how my family life would be, but at the time I didn't see it. I didn't see that. I didn't see that I wasn't able to do like that was prohibiting me from doing things.
Right.
I thought it was just okay. I thought it was just normal, and that I was doing great and things were going great. And it wasn't until I let it go. It wasn't until I said, I'm not doing this anymore. And then afterwards, looking back, I realized all the missed opportunities I had when doing that. All the opportunities that presented themselves moving forward because I let that go.
Yeah. You took a habit that, yeah, I mean, I've had habits in my life where I was thinking, you know, I'm not sure this isn't a sinful thing to do. Where I really didn't know, but where I finally just came to the determination, I don't know if it's a sin or not. But I believe I would be a holier person if I stopped doing this.
Right.
Okay. And so that I think applies to, I think all of us can relate to that. You know, whether it's the movies we choose to watch, for me, that's like a big thing that the Lord has been putting on my heart lately, is that like when I watch a movie, it affects my imagination. It affects the things that I think about. Like often if I watch a movie the next morning when I'm praying, scenario, you know, like if I'm getting distracted in prayer, it's because I'm thinking about the movie I watched last night or, you know, something like that. And so, are those things that I'm doing, like the movies, I'm just using movies as an example, the movies I'm watching, are they making me holier? You know, am I going to be at my judgment? I think I'm going to regret spending time on watching, you know, like these movies. And I think a lot of people might look at that and say, you know what, Dave, you're just being a prude. You're worrying about it too much. You know, you're an adult. You can distinguish the good from the bad. And it's like, I know that. I know I can. And that's why I'm not watching them. Because I can distinguish the good. If I couldn't, you know, then I don't know. But like it makes it worse because if I know, like, just take like James Bond. I watched one of the James Bond movies recently, and you know, like when I skipped all the inappropriate scenes, you know, it's like, oh, I'll even skip those, you know. But still, it's like, I should be guarding my innocence. I'm the only one who's going to do that. Nobody else is capable of preserving my own innocence. I'm talking about my own innocence as a full grown man. You know what I mean? So we have to be willing to say, no, I'm going to pursue the highest good, because very often what sin is when we are rejecting higher goods for lesser goods. And these things become vices, which grow into sins venial sins.
Or even just a perverted good. It's not even what we perceive to be good.
Right.
But it's not.
Right. Exactly. Like, oh, I'm going to, you know, eat instead of fast on a day of fasting. You know, like food is good. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. Eating is a good thing to do. But if there's higher goods that we're having to reject, you know, so sometimes you have to kill. This is, you know, what we're going to get to is you have to kill the lesser good in order that the higher good can thrive.
Right.
You know, and so just back to the movies, I just think I use that as a good example because I think a lot of people can relate to this, you know.
Right.
Or
music. Music is another really good example.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is this at your judgment? You know, is this song, is the music we're listening to, the movies we're watching, whatever the media we're consuming, is it making you holier? If it's not, then you need to stop doing it. You know what I mean? And I know what you're thinking right now. I don't want to stop doing that. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
Which is exactly,
I really enjoy it.
Which is the exact mind frame that I had when I started taking my faith seriously and realizing all these things that I was doing in my life.
Right.
But I like doing this. And like, I don't want to be a prude. I don't want to be the weird Catholic guy.
Yeah.
You know, that was my mind frame at the time.
Right.
And then I realized, no. This is a call to holiness.
Right. And I want to be clear, and I have to come back to this, I think, at the other side of the break again and again. I'm not talking about becoming a Puritan.
Right.
Okay. I'm not talking about you have to reject, like nothing, if it's not crystal pure, like white as the driven snow can be in your life and in your, you know, like, no, I understand. I'm not saying you can't watch movies.
Right.
I'm just saying, think about them. You know, are these movies bringing you closer to God? You know, if this is your last 2 hours on earth, which it might be, you know, you never know. Is this how you want to spend it? You know, like we should be striving for the greatest goods and not settling for lesser goods.
Right.
And I say that as a guy who loves movies, I like movie night, you know, I'm going to keep movie night's not going anywhere in my house. You know, like Pamela and I, we like to watch a movie every now and then, you know?
Right. But a lot of times it's whenever we don't have our appetites under control.
Right.
When our appetites are driving our actions instead of our actions driving our appetites.
Right.
That's when we realize, oh, something is disordered here. Something is not allowing me to see truth the way it really, to see reality the way it is.
I'm so glad you said that.
I'm being blinded. So
I want to talk more about that. I'm going to pick that point up on the other side of the break.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're channeling the spirit of Mother Angelica during this episode. Certainly. It has to be, right?
The 11th commandment should be bold.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
She said that?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for other people, we would all be holy.
Yeah, that's true. It's everybody else's fault. Like, all my sins.
Yeah.
It's like, I really relate to Adam in that way in the garden. It's
not
like,
me.
No, not you.
Definitely not me.
You're a big sinner.
Yeah.
Not relating to you.
Yeah.
Relating to Adam.
Yeah.
He's like, that woman here, that woman, God, like, if you remember God, I was doing great.
But I wasn't.
Until, like, you put this woman here, and now she's like,
bone of my bone and flesh of my, oh, wait, that's not the part you're talking about.
No, she's like trying to get me. She force fed me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so right before the break, Adam, you were talking about how it's like our appetites that, you know, when they're not ordered well. And I hope I'm not beating a dead horse, but I have to just notice in my own life, when I end up watching a movie that like later on, I think, you know what? And that was it. It's not like a sin that I watched a Bond movie. But it wasn't. It's because I have this like, ooh, I want to watch a movie tonight. It's not that I want to watch like, ooh, there's a good movie that I want to watch. Like, I have found something good. And now I want to reach for it. I just like have an appetite for movies and I want to watch. And so like I go and watch one. Is it a good one? I don't know. I just need to watch a movie because I have an appetite that I am not saying, you know, if I don't have something good to reach towards and I'm just satisfying a craving, whether it's hunger or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, if you're eating just because you're hungry, you know, that's not a well-ordered appetite,
right?
You know, whether hungry for fill in the blank, right. You know, so I just notice in my own life, you know, it's when I just have this hunger for something, which is normal. You're going to have desires for things. Mm-hmm. And movies are good. So like it's normal to have an appetite for them. But if I'm just if I'm just watching a movie to satisfy the appetite, now all of a sudden I'm relinquishing control of my passions to the passions themselves instead of me being the one who's mastering them.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's really interesting when you kill the, you know, when you kill these appetite or, you know, these disorders,
uh-huh.
this is what brings in creativity. You know, whenever like you no longer are just tied down by all of these appetites and you're not letting them drive, then all of a sudden you're able to have this holy leisure. You're able to have this moment of creativity that you wouldn't yeah. be able to have otherwise, mm-hmm. which breeds contemplation, which brings in reality itself and not a blindness in sin of reality.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, when having control of your passions, your appetites, is the only way, you know, that's the purpose, you know, of the rational
right.
part of our soul. So if that's not in control, then you can't really be creative. You can just be passionate. Okay. Cause if you're not the one in control of the powers of, you know, the faculties of your person,
mm-hmm.
then they're in control of you and you're not being creative. You're being like thrown around, you
right.
know, like something might happen,
right.
you know, like,
yeah.
But it's not you being creative, right. you know, so.
And the ultimate, you know, sacrificing, the ultimate like killing of something for a greater good. You see this all throughout, obviously, the Bible and all and the sacraments. You know, you're dying to self in marriage,
mm-hmm.
For a higher good of uniting man and woman as one.
Right.
You know, when and that love that happens between a man and woman manifests into children. You know, and it's
yeah.
only another step of dying to self. Like when you get married, you realize, oh, I'm dying to myself in order to put my wife, you know, ahead of myself, you know, to serve her.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, I'm doing a great job. And then this love that you have for this self-sacrificial love that you have for manifests into a child a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, I have even more sacrifice. Like I even have more to give.
Right.
And once you start realizing that you have more to give, it's not like the love multiplies. It's not like, oh, now I'm at 100%. Like you have another child, you think you're at 100%. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, no, it multiplies. I have more to give.
Right. Love is not a factor of time. You know that, oh, I only have so much time to love people.
Right.
I'm going to run out of, like, you're going to run out of love to give. It actually doesn't work that way at all. Right. Because if you add more children to your family, you're not actually loving your kids less.
Right.
You actually end up loving them more. Right. Mm-hmm. Because now because love is shared. Right. And so now there's more to share.
Right.
You know, like I'm now sharing my first daughter's love with our new son. You know, like we couldn't do that before. And so now there's actually more love between me and my daughter, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, it's definitely not a zero-sum game.
Right. And so, I mean, you can see this all, you know, you kill the vice, you can grow in virtue, you have a self-sacrificial life, and you grow, you know, in holy marriage and as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I mean, the obvious pointer is to the cross, right? When Christ is on the cross, crucifixion was a horrible thing. We committed deicide.
Yeah.
You know, we killed God, but without the cross, without the crucifixion, without him dying on the cross, resurrection wouldn't happen.
Right.
And so there's, I guess really what I was wanting to make sure to drive home in this episode was there are guys out there that are listening who are living or like or who are existing but not fully alive. There are guys out there who are being have this itch maybe to join a ministry within the church, to help within the, in their local parish, to maybe join Knights of Columbus, to maybe start a ministry. I don't know. I mean, there's guys out there that are having these itches.
They know
itches.
What it is.
Yeah. And they're either worried that they're not going to do it, that they can't do it, pride. I don't know what it is. They have to give up something in order to make this happen. But you have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like...
You have to be willing to do it anyway.
You have to be willing.
I'll just tell you, I have found that I've had moments in prayer where I'm telling God, Lord, I just want to do your will. If you tell me what it is, anything, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like saying that, and then I kind of realize that it's like, well, unless
you're asking
there's actually, there's one thing that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do, like, I just remember like, actually, Lord, I don't want to quit my job. I don't want to do that. Right. Don't ask me to do that. And then I realized like, oh, actually I am holding something back. Here I am saying with my lips, anything, Lord, but with my heart, I was saying something else at the same time. And I had a moment, it was a grace where I realized this and I just said, and it didn't change that. How I felt. I still didn't want to do it, but at least it allowed me this moment of where I could say, actually, God, there's this one thing I don't want to do. I'm afraid. Lord, I'm actually afraid that if I surrender all of me to you, that you're going to ask me to do this one thing. And I'm afraid to do that. And like, help me. You know, it allowed me to take this fear I had and like even offer that to him.
Yeah, to make yourself even more vulnerable. Not that Christ doesn't already know this.
You have to trust him.
Right.
You have to be willing to trust him. And it's, it's scary. I mean, it's weird to think that like, oh, putting your hands in Jesus, surrendering your life to Jesus is scary. It is scary because there are things that, oh, what if I have to do, what if this is what he asked me to do, mm-hmm. I don't want to do that, but no, look, his plan,
right.
It's the best. Yeah. I mean, your life could not be filled with more joy than if you are just doing exactly what he wants from you.
Right. And like Mother Angelica said, you have to do the ridiculous for God to do the miraculous.
Uh-huh.
Here's a contemplative nun, starting a media empire.
Right.
Which is just not who you would picture starting a media empire.
Right.
But God miraculously put everything in motion and put everything in place for her to succeed.
Right. I mean, and that's just the way it is. And I'll just tell you that when I have had these, you could call them breakthrough moments in my own life, and not that you or I are like the paragon of like, I'm not trying to say,
no,
like,
I hope we're not coming off that way. Right. That's not,
I'm just saying I have had moments like this. And when I look back on them, I realize God had this huge good, like it's change in my life, like something, this great gift he was waiting to give to me. But I needed to open myself up to receive it. And there were these little things in my life where once again, I was holding on to these lesser goods, mm-hmm. and God had a greater good. He was just like, open your hands. My hands were clutched onto this lesser good. Finally, when I was willing to let that thing go and let it float away out of my life, my hands were open and I could receive, this greater good and it was like, wow. Was I holding on to that last, that thing was stupid.
Right. And then once you do that, you realize that, your prayer life is getting more in order.
Right.
Your family is now getting better. You're better at leading your family because you're self-sacrificial, loving them.
Uh-huh.
You're not putting yourself first. You're not holding on to those vices.
Right.
You're thinking of others. You're helpful in the community, the Catholic community.
Mm-hmm.
So I just challenge you guys, if you guys are listening right now, like, take it to prayer. Go to adoration. Adoration is the best place, I think, to contemplate like prudently what you should be doing in your vocation, how to live out your vocation more, and ask what he wants of you.
Be willing to give him every single piece of your life, your leisure, your work, all of it.
And it's not easy to do.
It's not.
It's going to be painful.
It's a little bit scary,
and
but
it's painful.
It's beautiful. Okay. Anyway.
All right, let's go record a Life on the Rock, you want to?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.